back. Says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow, and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going.
Thank you.
evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. It is Thursday, April 13th. And that wants to play again, but nope, you have to wait. It is Thursday, April 13th, 2023, live program tonight. Thank you for joining us. And what a beautiful day. We have had some beautiful spring weather out here this week, out here at the Radio Ranch, and changing a little bit tomorrow, still springtime, so there's chance of snow and rain the next couple days, but that's okay. We've been up in the 60s. The grass is almost turning green. It's still winter brown, but it's a changing. It is. And praise God, and that we have a God that does that, a God of order that brings spring after winter. And it's because that God set that up. It's why this happens. So as you see spring coming and the birds singing and the butterflies coming out and the flowers and the green grass, praise God, thank Him for it, because it's that's who brings it, that's who allows it, that's who set it up to happen this way, and we should be thankful. Well, let's open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. We do thank You for this spring day, this time of year, the seasons that You have set. And Lord, thank You. Thank You that You got us through another winter. We rejoice in that, Lord. And we look forward to spring. We thank You for it, Lord, the time of new birth and new growth. And Lord, the new blessings that You have for us this year. And we thank You for it. Thank You for this new year and this new opportunity, Lord, and the opportunities that You bring before us, Father, to be better stewards, to be better Christians, to be better spouses, better parents, better children, if that's where it works. Lord, to be better Christians. And so we pray for Your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in those ways, Lord, those ways that are pleasing to You. I pray for Your blessings on the broadcast tonight. Thank You for the opportunity to be here to share some current events and Your word with Your people. And I thank You for that. And I ask Your blessings on this broadcast. And Lord, I ask Your blessings on the remnant, on those that are out there that love You and love their neighbors themselves and are doers of the word. And we pray Your blessings on them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Remnant, got a few current events to talk to you about tonight along the lines of three categories I want to kind of touch base on tonight. One is food. Okay, food. I want to talk a little bit about health, just a little bit about health, and then the economy as well. And I saw current events from, in the news today. So, and then I've got a couple scripture verses that I think that help describe them, that apply if we would look. Because, you know, that's what the scriptures are for. They are for us to learn and to apply. You know, in math, we've homeschooled our children, got one left. One is still, we went to a little different curriculum, little stricter curriculum this past year, and it's been going well. But, you know, one of the things we always try to teach them is that math is important, right? Math is important, whether it's counting money, counting change, getting paid, hours, your bill, if you go have something done, a service done, or if you have to charge for your business, your service. You know, math is important. The Pythagorean theorem, right? The right triangle, right? A right triangle, a squared plus b squared, the two sides of the right triangle, equals c squared, the hypotenuse squared. And, you know, when you're in school, right, whatever, who cares? But if you're going to do any type of building, you need to know that, so your building is square. If you're going to do any type of sewing and you want to, like a quilt or something, you don't want one side to be 4 feet long and the other side 3 feet and another side 5 feet, and you don't want it all oblong. No,
you want it square, or at least, you know, rectangular. And so you need to apply that Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, to that, right? Again, whether you're building, whether you're figuring volume, and you know, and then once especially into geometry, and if you get into algebra and trigonometry and all that type of stuff, but it does. But I just use it as an example. We've always tried to push that on our children to make sure they understood that math is important. And so and so what it is because you learn about math and then you apply it. If all you ever did was learn it and never applied it, it wouldn't do you any good, right? If you learned how to speak a foreign language and you never apply it, what good does it do? And it's like that with the scriptures. We are to learn. That's what these scriptures are here for. And we're to apply them in our lives. And to be, as you've heard us say before, doers of the word and not hearers only, right? We are to do. Sometimes we face hardships. And so when that happens, what are we to do? We are to endure, right? The word tells us he who endures will be saved. He who overcomes, that's what we do. We are to be doers. We are to apply these things. I'm in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29:11. No, not 29:11, just 29. Message to the exiles. Verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And, you know, we are in, and we're seeing it more and more, a type of Christian exile in our land today, where there are Christians that are afraid to speak out against the sin of lying and cheating and murder and crime and homosexuality and transgender and all this mess that the world is in, that our land is in today. We're in exile today, you might say, in a Babylonian type captivity here in this Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah 29 verse 5, it says this is what God says to do, even there, even where we are. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, and that's not the welfare we have, but in its peace is what that references. If you have a reference Bible, if you don't, I suggest you get one, because they are great. Towards understanding these scriptures. And so it says, pray to the Lord on the city's behalf, for in its peace you will have peace. Okay? That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. But I think we failed in that. I think we haven't done that. And because we haven't done it, we don't have peace. The cities, the towns, the communities, the neighborhoods we're in don't have peace, and we don't have peace. So Jeremiah 29, I think we'll come back. We'll come back to Jeremiah. But a couple of current events. I saw this one. Did you see what happened in Texas? Just south of Amarillo, Dimmitt, Texas. No, not Dimmitt. Dimmitt, Texas. Monday evening, a Texas dairy farm explodes. Now, I'll be 58 this year, and I've lived out in the country most of my life, and we've gotten raw milk, and we've had milk cows, and I've dealt with people in dairies, and I know people in dairies, and in 58 years, I have never in my life heard of a dairy farm exploding. Okay? Maybe I just lead a sheltered life. But I've never heard of a dairy farm exploding. Not only exploded, but it killed, it's reported, 18,000 cows. Okay? One person was seriously injured. First responders, got her out. Let's see. Said you could see the smoke plume from 30 miles away. 18,000 head. One woman, was in the hospital in critical condition. I'm not pushing any conspiracy theory here. I'm just saying that this is something new. This is something that I have not heard about in a while. Okay? Now, we've been bringing to you reports and things like fires and explosions and destruction at different types of food processing facilities, right? Over the past, couple of years now. Couple of years. You know, just in January, in Connecticut, they had an egg farm. Massive fire swept through that killed tens of thousands of chickens. Let's see. We've reported several. That was just... Hillendale Farms. And so you might think, 100,000 chickens, geez, they got 20 million chickens. It's not a big deal. Well, I don't know if you've noticed. I was in the grocery store here a couple weeks ago and took a picture of the egg aisle because it was pretty sparse. And so here's, again, something else that has happened to our food supply. In one way or another, okay? Now, this company, in 2019, Texas authorized this facility to more than double the number of cattle allowed on site. Here was a, and I don't even know the company. I don't have it right here in front of me. But, here's a company that's thriving and growing and not right here in Dimmitt this week. Again, this is part of our food production facility. Major impact. And, if that was the only thing that had happened in the last several years, it wouldn't even make the news hardly. But it's not the only thing that's happened. We're seeing these things happen time after time after time, again and again and again. So that's what I wanted to talk to you, current events about food, okay? Let's shift gears here, and we'll have time to come back, talk about this food here in a minute, but how about health? The latest young, healthy, athletic, used to be a National Hockey League player, and now he had retired from that and was a firefighter, okay, 38 years old, not overweight. You look at the pictures of this Raymond Sawada, died of a heart attack on Monday. Was playing a little pickup game of hockey. Now, if he's like any of the young, 38 is young, firefighters that I know, they're in pretty good shape. They get paid. Firefighters get paid to work out. They usually work like either a 24 or a 48-hour shift. Okay? Like 24 on and 48 off. Or 48 on, hours on, and 96 off. Just depending on the scheduling, and that's how our local firefighters are. I think they were 48 on, or one day on, 2 days off. Now they're 48 on and I think 4 days off, something like that. And they get paid. I've seen them at the rec center. They have their own gym. They get paid because they want them to stay healthy, because they have a dangerous job. And so, and they get, you know, medical exams that they have to pass all the time. And so this guy, let me see here. Yeah, he was a community hero, local firefighter. And it just, I mean, and I understand people die. Okay? I understand that. I understand that heart attacks are that way. Both my grandfathers, I didn't know them, but they both died of heart attacks, you know, back in the, oh, geez, the late 50s, early 60s. And I understand that happened, but, you know, they were grandfathers. They weren't 38 years old. And again, just like the explosion of the dairy farm, if this just happened to happen, you know, they'd be asking questions. How can a healthy 38-year-old former professional hockey player and now a fireman, one that works out, that gets paid to work out, that has medical checkups, and how can they just die of a heart attack? And he's not the first one. He's just the latest in this country and all over the world. The soccer players all over the world that are just keeling over. The newscasters that are just passing out. And the people that are just dying of heart attacks. Our health is not what it used to be, is it? Okay, and then the economy. Moving on. Last thing, the economy. Okay? So, jobless claims climbed to, they put this out about every month. Jobless claims climbed to 239,000, highest since January of 22. That's in what, 14 months, 15 months. Number of Americans making initial claims for jobless benefits rose last week. You know, nothing that you don't know out there. If you're out there, there's people that say they're hiring, but you know, highest jobless claims in 14 months. And I can tell you, you know, from I do some of the shopping, and I can tell you that the economy's it's thriving for some, but you know, for some it's tough to get by. It includes taking second jobs and maybe third jobs. And it includes cutting back on spending, whether it's for food or whatever it is. And it's impacting a lot of people still. Not that it did, it still is. And so the economy is tough. It is. Now, I know if you want to work, you can work out there. You can go out there and make $16, $18, $20 an hour, probably at the grocery store. And that's fine. That's good. That's a good starting place. But as bad as the economy is, it takes that to get by. How would you like to be a company, though? Here's another part of the economy. How would you like to be a company that makes a decision, and because of that, within about, well, less than 2 weeks, you lose $6 billion in market value? How would you like to do that? You know, what would that, you know, I mean, that's kind of a hit. I don't care what company you are, but make a decision and lose $6 billion in less than 2 weeks. Well, that tells you about the economy. And it tells you about decisions that are made. And that company is Anheuser-Busch, the maker and promoter of Bud Light. And so they made a decision, and the American people have hit them in the pocketbook. Have stopped buying Bud Light. Stop buying Budweiser brands. Because American people drink beer. Most people in America, I would say at least half. And so, you know, that's a part of the economy that's not all bad. Although, you know, a company loses $6 billion, they're probably going to be laying people off and cutting back and things like that, when they could be expanding and moving forward, but because of their decisions. So that's a little off on the economy, but anyway, that's where it is. So let's go back to health, okay? Or let's go back to food. Let's start with the food. And, you know, I don't know that it is all the enemy that is destroying our food production capabilities in this nation, or at least attacking them, okay? It may be. It may be. But, you know, we've got some scripture. How about Jeremiah 8:13? We read in Jeremiah 29. Let's go back to Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8:13, he says, "He," meaning God, "changes rivers into wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste." Now, you might think, why would God do that? Why would God dry up a river? Why would he change a river into a wilderness and springs of water into thirsty ground? It says, because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So Americans, home of the free, land of the brave, okay, do you ever think that these things are happening because of the wickedness of the people in America? Because the word says these things happen because of the wickedness of the people that dwell in the land. How about a little later in Jeremiah 51? Jeremiah 51, verse 36. God says, "I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There'll be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree. And the leaf will wither. And what I have given them will pass away." And so here he's talking about food, grapes and figs, and that are no more, that were there, but they're gone. And in Ezekiel, here's just one more, and I'm just trying to give you a few scriptures to make sure you're of the right mindset that, you know, we need repentance in this land. Ezekiel 30, verse 12. Ezekiel 30, verse 12 says, "Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation." Now, a land that is not cleansed or rained on is a desolate, unfruitful land. And so here's an answer to, you know, why did a dairy farm blow up? Why are these chicken farms burning up and blowing up? And why are these food production facilities, you know, catching on fire and exploding and this and that? Well, is it because we are a land not cleansed or rained on, and God is having a day of indignation? In Nahum 1:4, and this is the last one on food, and we'll move to health. The last one on food, Nahum, starting chapter 1. God says, "But I gave you also cleanness of teeth in all your cities." That means hunger. Hunger. "And lack of bread in all your places." That's famine. "Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months of harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and on another city I would not send rain." And boy, don't we have that. Don't we have that. Droughts in part of the country and floods in the other. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So, two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. And then he says, "Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." Just a couple of Just a couple of scriptures. Just a few of them. Revelation 18:8 talks about killing with famine and pestilence. And if you think we got to wait till the heavens split open, you're just wrong. And then health. Health. How about Zephaniah 1? Zephaniah 1. I know we say, oh, these people are dying because they took the COVID shot. That's why they're dying. I ain't take no shot. So it ain't coming for me because I ain't take no shot. And I hear people talk like that. It's like, you know, you better walk humbly before the Lord. And if you think it's anything you did or didn't do, you better think twice about that. And if you think it's just the enemy that is doing this, Zephaniah 1:17 says, I, and it's the Lord talking here, I will bring distress on men so that they will walk like blind men because they sinned against the Lord. Because they sinned. God will bring distress because of sin. That's what his word says. Don't we read in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death? Thank God the rest of it's there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Absolutely. That is the only way out. The only salvation. Ezekiel 4:17. Ezekiel 4:17 says, because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. We see a wasting away in this nation because of iniquity. Psalms 107:17 says, fools. And so what do you think about when you think of a fool? You think of a fool, you think of like a court jester, right? Somebody with a funny hat. You know, Danny Kaye played some movie 100 years ago as a court jester and, you know, all stupid and silly and all that. Is that what you think about fools? You know, the word says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So that probably qualifies about 40%+ of the people in this nation as fools. Fools, Psalms 107:17, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Now, I'm not saying this hockey player Raymond Sawada. That's not what I'm saying about him in particular. But we're seeing this all across our land. Affliction. Affliction. And we're seeing all across our land trust put where trust should not be put. And faith in God and the healing and salvation power of Jesus Christ is not put there. It's just not. And so we have to wonder, well, why does this happen? Because of our rebellious way and because of our iniquities. Psalms 38:3 tells us, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your, O God, your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. Now, I don't know that his word changes. I know that it doesn't change. And David understood this. The psalmist understood this. No soundness in my flesh because, God, because there is sin and you hate sin. And there's no soundness in my flesh because of that. And no health in my bones because of my sin. And I think that this applies to us collectively as a nation. Micah 6:13, last verse on health. Micah 6, verse 13. So also, God says, I will make you sick, striking you down, desolating you because of your sins. You know, when people are sick, we get prayer requests, and pray for victory over the enemy, and pray for victory over the devil, and pray for victory over all this and we come out against the spirit of infirmity. We pray against that. Absolutely, we do. But Micah 6 says, God says, I'll make you sick. God says, I'll strike you down because of your sins. Now, do you think there's any way out of that? Because all have sinned, right? And fallen short of the glory of God. But there's a difference. There's a difference in those that embrace sin and flaunt it and cram it down your throat and want to teach it to your kindergarten children. See, there's a difference in those people and those that have come out of her, those that have been washed, those that have repented and changed. Because for those, God doesn't make you sick. God doesn't strike you down when you've repented and been forgiven of your sins. And you don't get that by praying to Allah. You don't get that by reading the Torah. You don't get that by good deeds. Oh, if you can just do enough good deeds. You know, there's religions out there that think that, like, during Lent and fasting and Ramadan and all, if you just do more good than bad, you're okay. Doesn't get you saved. Doesn't save you from your sins. Doesn't forgive you. Doesn't bring you salvation. That only comes through Jesus Christ and through repentance. And let's not forget the economy. You don't hear much about the economy in the Judeo church world. It's just love Jesus. Tell people about Jesus and be saved, and that's it. How about regarding the economy, how about Philippians? Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19 says, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Right? The way you treat others, that's the way it's going to come back to you. By your measure, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So, be generous. So generosity will come back to you. Be forgiving. So forgiveness will come back to you. See, these are not the ways of the world. Oh, this ain't the way to grow your 401k according to the world. No, no, no. 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, O Lord, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. See, that talks about contentment. just the opposite of covetousness. Oh, Lord, if I could just have steak and lobster, hoo-hoo, if I could just buy that steak, if I could just have this, if I could just have that. Give me neither poverty nor riches, O Lord. Feed me with the food that is my portion. See, when we praise God for our portion, for what He gives us, instead of griping and grumbling about what He didn't give us, Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, an arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. So trust in the Lord, in His word, in His will, in His way. Apply these teachings and prosper. Let's see, a couple more on economy. Genesis, way back in Genesis 41:33 says, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For even when one has an abundance, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. You know what happens? You know, the world says he who dies with the most toys wins. Remember seeing that? I remember seeing that a lot. And it's like, okay, he who dies with the most toys wins. See, that's just a saying of the world. No, he who dies with the most toys has family members that get it or have to get rid of it. And he still dies. It's not a, you know, as Christians, we're not to be, to stress with keeping up with the Joneses. Not at all. Leviticus 23 says, honor the Lord from your wealth. Because guess what? Where do you get your wealth from? From the Lord. So honor Him with it. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Not what's left over. Not if you got any left after everything you've done with everything. That's not what it says. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. You want to have plenty? Whether it's material possessions, or money in the bank, or vats with new wine? Now, not many of us have vats, and if we do have them, we don't want them overflowing on the floor, making a mess. And so it's not a literal translation here that we're to look at. But he says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, and you'll have plenty. You'll have more than enough. You won't just struggle and get by and squeak by. Your blessings will overflow, it says. Now, if you don't want to believe Leviticus, or you just don't want to apply it, well, that's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to be filled with plenty. And you don't have to overflow with blessings. No. Don't worry about it. Just continue to squeak by and survive instead of thrive. You know, regarding the economy also, it's not just limited to the economy, but Deuteronomy 23 talks about if anyone doesn't provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And see, that scripture there says, you know what? You got to work. And if you don't work, the New Testament says, guess what? If you don't work, you don't eat. Oh, we got welfare system and we got soup kitchens and all that. But those were never intended for people that would not work. They were intended for those that could not. Maybe they had physical or mental problems and they couldn't keep a job. And so, the generosity of the people will help take care of those. Maybe somebody's down on his luck, recovering from an addiction or recovering from something and needs a little help. That's not what this applies. What those apply to, those soup kitchens and food pantries and things like that, although they have grown 4 to 6-fold even in our community because of the economy. But met a man last year and have talked to him a couple times and asked, you talk to people, what do you do? Where do you work? Oh, I'm between jobs right now. Well, what have you done in the past? Are you looking? No, I'm just being led by the Lord, serving the Lord. And I didn't say it, but it's almost liar. You don't understand. You might want to build a house, but if you don't understand and apply that Pythagorean theorem of A squared plus B squared equals C squared, your house is going to fail. It's not going to be square. It's not going to be livable. It ain't going to work if you don't apply that theory. And it's the same way in the Bible. You can't be a Christian if you don't apply these things. If you don't, study to show yourself approved. Look at the Word. Apply the Word. But if you don't provide for your own, and especially of your own household, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. You're not a Christian. You're worse than a non-Christian. Worse, the Word says. And let me tell you, this Scripture is just as important as John 3:16. Just as important. It's because of this that we have John 3:16. God does love the world. He loves us. That's why He tells us, provide for your own. Work. Do. And that provide for your own, you've heard me say, is not just a roof and food and clothing, but it is security as well. It's training up your children in the way they should go. And it's not being ashamed of the gospel. And it's providing for their security. And if you love them, you hate anything that comes against them. If you love your children and your family and your spouse, you hate anyone that would wish them harm. And fathers, if you love your families and anyone wishes them harm, they need to come through you first. Don't forget that. That's what this scripture means. You provide for your own. Especially for those of your own. First for those in your household. But we don't. We don't. And as a result, the Bible says it is a denying of the faith and being worse than an unbeliever. It's just the opposite of Leviticus 23. Why? Why? You know, many people think a lot of Americans have plenty. You know, and sometimes I see that. You know, I see now it's snowmobile season's over, so now the trailers have four-wheelers on them, right? Side by side, and not just the little four-wheelers, but the big $30,000, $18,000 side-by-side quad four-seaters with air, and they just come out of the woodwork. Oh, Americans got plenty. No. They're up to their eyeballs in debt is what they are. And they're divorced. And they're separated from God. But they're believing the lie that because they have all these things, they got credit, but they don't own any of it. Proverbs tells us the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And because we haven't been on our guard, as Genesis says, and we read, against every form of greed, but let us just have enough, Lord. Let us have enough. And let it be enough for us, right? As Paul wrote to Timothy, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. I pray that, Lord, for myself. I pray that for the remnant. That you are glorified in that, Lord. Amen. Well, remnant, that's the broadcast. Wow. I didn't get back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30, going to wrap it up here. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord. And do not be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I, the Lord, will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and will be quiet and at ease. Do you desire that, Jacob? Israel? America? Here in this new JERUSALEM, do you desire quiet and ease? God promises it here. And no one, it says, will make him afraid. Verse 11 says, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten you justly, and will by no means leave you unpunished. In verse 14 it says, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. In verse 17, and we'll wrap up with this, the Lord says, I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. That's good news, folks. That's good news. That ties right in with the healer. He who went to the cross, who bore our shame, who bore our sicknesses and our diseases. And that's Jesus Christ. And this is one of the many prophecies that he fulfilled in going to the cross. Well, again, remnant, out of time. Thanks for joining us. We want to invite you back Saturday morning. Tomorrow's Friday. You get a day off. Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're planning on being here 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. And we hope you'll join us with your Bible and with some good hot coffee and join us for fellowship and praise. And I hope you'll join us Sunday for church at scripturesforamerica.org Sunday morning. God bless.
There's a sign there on your back. Says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow, and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness. I've been down to my last match. Filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.